Welcome everyone to Good Night and Good Game, your source for geek news for the week that was. I'm your host, James, and with me as always is my wonderful co-host, Hector.
Hello.
And this week on the show, it is time for our yearly Gamescom special. But before we start, don't forget that you can head over to goodnight.gg, where as a patron of our show, you can suggest topics for us to talk about. Also, as a Patreon, you get access to our off-week episodes. We've wrapped up watching all the martial arts films.
Oh, yeah.
We have to record a few episodes about those.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent time. We watched Shaolin Soccer yesterday.
It was awesome.
Loved that movie. And starting next week, because it is spooky season, I have a curated list of horror films that we are going to be watching for the next 8 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So look forward to those special Patreon episodes as we record them. But with all that out of the way, it is time to talk about Gamescom.
Gamescom.
All right, it's time to talk about all things Gamescom. If you're not familiar with it, Gamescom is an annual gaming trade show that is put on in Cologne, Germany. We can't cover the full week's worth of news and content, but we do want to highlight some of the stuff that we saw. There was tons of stuff from the Xbox Showcase to the Future Game Show. There were so many great games for us to talk about, so I've just made a list, and what we get to do is just pick things out of a hat. Yeah. What do you want to talk about, Hector?
Well,
where do you want to start?
You know where I want to start? I want to start where the show started. So we had Gamescom day one. We had Jeff Keighley on stage.
We did.
We had him doing his thing in between doing the Game Awards and doing not E3, which is basically officially E3 now.
Right.
He's at Gamescom. He's on stage. He is doing his amazing MC thing. And like the last three shows in a row that he's done, someone rushes the stage.
Yep.
They rushed to the stage and they started shouting some bullshit about Grand Theft Auto 6.
Grand Theft Auto and Bill Clinton were the things that they said.
The original one was the kid who was like a famous internet troll.
I looked up the one for Gamescom.
Yes.
He was also repeating the same thing.
Oh, he was there? Okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're referencing the original meme and then they're screaming about Grand Theft Auto 6. Mm. Please stop fucking with Jeff Keighley like this.
Right.
Leave him alone. He's doing everyone a service and giving us all something that we used to have back to us in a better way. Mm-hmm. Like just leave him alone. Let him make his show. You know what is probably not going to be as good as you want it to be? Grand Theft Auto 6.
Probably not.
It's not worth rushing the stage to pester Jeff Keighley while he's in the middle of like literally a thing he's been practicing for months to do.
Mm-hmm.
Leave him alone.
I agree.
That's how you want to start.
All right,
Gamescom.
That's how you want to start. Then I'm going to jump in. It is spooky season, like we talked about. Let's talk about Alan Wake 2.
Alan Wake 2. Yeah, we got to see spooky season time.
Got to see the trailer for Alan Wake 2. We've been seeing various trailers for Alan Wake. Mind you, this was a game that originally came out on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
It was very Twin Peaks meets Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
Very much about this writer who's like the things that he's writing about are coming to life. And after all these years, not only have we gotten what is called the Remedy Connected Universe, which is games like Control exist in the same realm or in the same world as Alan Wake.
Or Max Payne.
And Max Payne. But we also have this new game, Alan Wake 2, that's going to be coming out. And for months after it was announced, we had no idea where the original protagonist, Alan Wake, fit into the equation. We got to hear, oh, you're going to be playing this detective and she's going to be doing these things. And everybody was scratching their heads going, but it's called Alan Wake.
Yeah.
And finally, we got the Alan Wake part of the game, which is you're going to be playing two characters whose stories will converge at some point. And that was the most exciting thing, is we finally got the Alan Wake trailer that was just like, here's the original actor coming in, you know, reprising his role as Alan Wake. And everything about this game has me so excited. It is coming out literally at the end of October.
I think the release is literally October 27th or 29th or something like that. It's the days before Halloween.
I cannot wait. Oh, it is so good.
So,
Hector, what do you got?
The thing about Alan Wake and the thing about Remedy and the thing about if you play Alan Wake and you play something like Control, you realize that not only is this a studio that appreciates movie making and cinematography and editing and like voice acting and I mean, you're also looking at, you know, games that they made, like the one that I always forget the name of that was on Xbox that has a whole TV show attached to it.
Oh, right. Yeah, Quantum I remember that
Break.
One. Quantum Break?
Yep. Quantum Break. Yeah, they're like they want to make TV shows, but they don't. They don't want to make TV shows. They want to make video games
that have TV shows
that remind them of TV shows that they love to watch, and playing them reminds them of TV
also,
shows they
books,
love to watch.
Because you books sold too. Me on Control when it came out. I was like,
House
I don't know
of
if
Leaves the video game.
Yeah, you were like, it's House of Leaves the video game, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, how do I play that right now?
Right.
Here's an open vein. Would you like to enter?
Yeah,
like straight up, and that's the. So what I'm thinking about when it comes to this is when I think about Alan Wake and I think about Control, I think about the light elements of horror mm-hmm. that these games have had that have been honestly very well done and very like meticulously crafted, but they're not. There's always an element of silliness. There's always something somewhere that's like, hey, but it's a video game and you're, you know, shining a flashlight at people before you shoot them. Or, hey, you fly through the air and also Jesse is dynamite. And this one very serious character you've had the whole game is about to do a musical number.
Oh, God, the musical number is so good.
It's the best.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Alan Wake 2 and the release date and the way that they've been showing it off and showing that the gameplay is much less Alan Wake 1 and much more Resident Evil, I think Remedy has a chance, and I really don't want to hype this up too much and say that the game is something it's not, but it feels like they have an opportunity that I think they might take to make something really scary.
I hope so.
To make really like an actual like a horror game for horror game's sake. Mm. We're talking like Resident Evil 7 and 8. We're talking like the new stuff, you
like
know.
Dead Space level.
Like Dead Space level, like yeah. Dead Space remake level, you know, like yeah, I'm so excited for this game.
So, go ahead and look through the list and pick a game while you're doing that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Black Myth Wukong.
Okay. Ooh, yeah.
So Black Myth Wukong, we saw the original trailer for this, I want to say like 2 years ago. And it was a small studio in China. They were doing a Soulsborne kind of game where, you know, death has repercussions, like you don't want to die. But the entire premise of it, instead of being based in medieval fantasy like many of the Souls games are, is that it's deeply rooted in Chinese mythology. Mm-hmm. This is the story.
Yeah, like, this is the monkey story. This is like literally their monkey deity who like gets a staff from the gods and flies on a cloud. Mm-hmm. But like it is a third person action spectacle fighter. Think like Devil May Cry meets the most recent God of War, you know, but it's like, does anyone remember the movie Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
I do.
If you think like epic historical figures, but not historical, but like legendary, and then you think like we're going to tell their story, but it's going to be fucking wild. They're going to battle Dark Souls level bosses. That Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is fucking Wukong Black mythology.
Yeah. I'm super excited about straight it. Up. Everything about this game looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. They showed off a lot of the boss fights, which is the thing that you sell in a Souls game, right? These are what the bosses look like. For those of us that are currently playing Armored Core, it's the bosses that we're talking about.
Yep.
We're not talking about the mission to mission. It's like, what's the big bad that I'm fighting? Every boss that was shown off for Wukong looked absolutely amazing and super like excited about this game when it comes out. Hector, pick a game. What do you got?
All right. So what I have for you, I'm going to talk for a minute so you have a time to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about Rebel Moon. Mm. Rebel Moon is a video game tie-in to a Zack Snyder, not even single movie. It is probably a
Netflix.
It may be either a sequel or a trilogy happening. For a Zack Snyder sci-fi movie that they are putting fucking Star Wars money into. Mm-hmm. And it's getting a video game tie-in called Rebel Moon. For any longtime listeners, I am a giant Zack Snyder fan. I'm a huge apologist. I love the way he makes movies. They speak to me in a very specific way that makes me love the art of filmmaking the way that he does.
Sucker Punch is underrated.
Sucker Punch is incredibly underrated. I fucking love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is my shit. I can't wait to see those movies. But the fact that he has a video game tie-in, because most of the time when I'm watching the Zack Snyder movie and I'm looking at the shots, I'm thinking, man, a video games would benefit from being this energetic or this, you know, on the nose with their movement and their satisfaction for like simple sound and video cues. Like, it's so good. I cannot wait to play this game. I cannot wait to watch these movies. And if you have any taste at all like mine and you like Zack Snyder stuff, all the way from 300 to the Snyder cut of Justice League, I'm here for you. I can't wait.
All right. So what I'm going to do just for now is I'm going to bring down the energy in the room for just a moment.
Okay.
All right. We have to talk about the fact that Blizzard did announce what the next season of Diablo 4 is. It's called the Season of Blood. And I'm not going to bore you with the details about what this patch is going to bring or the things that it's going to do. What I'm going to tell you is that they showed off the trailer for this patch, this battle pass that they're going to be charging for. And when you broke down the things that are coming to the gamers, all of the things that they are advertising are things that are currently broken in the game, and they are advertising in the next major patch that you have to pay for, we are going to fix it. That's a problem.
I thought Gamescom was for like new games, or at least games people cared about.
Do you know how much Blizzard probably paid to have their season one of Diablo 4 get advertised on their platform? Come on now.
I cannot say this with enough earnestness. I fucking have a long, long history with the Diablo franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo 4, when it came out, was only fun because I played it with my friends.
Sure, yeah.
I would not have gotten through it on my own. And the first season released with endgame content, while resistances to elemental damage were broken and not working.
Right. An actual stat that is very important in the game.
A stat does not work. That is required to play the end level of the game.
Yep.
Was broken and would kill your character.
Mm-hmm.
And they went ahead and released the first season and the first season fucking battle pass and the paid version of the season battle pass.
Yep.
And the paid version of the season battle pass that was $20 more that allowed you to skip tiers to play a game that if you skip tiers, you were much, much sooner likely to run into the part of the game you cannot play because it's broken.
Yep. I cannot believe that
Diablo 4.
Diablo 4 got this kind of like trailer. They did a full like panel about it, and this is going to be weird because for those of you not watching along at home, we have two of our coworkers this week that are sitting here watching this live. So anyways, you can't repeat this. I was trying to play Diablo 4 at work.
Right.
Yeah. And I got so bored with the game. I was just like, I got to act three, man. Like, I was trying to finish the story, but this shit's bad. Like, I'm done.
Like, you know if you're playing a video game at work and you're like, nah, this video game fucking sucks. Like, that game sucks.
Right? Like, that's what it is. All right, Hector, pick a game. What do you got for me?
All right. The next one I have is near and dear to my heart because I cannot wait for it to be amazing. RoboCop Rogue City.
Oh, the trailer.
Yeah.
The fact they have the original actor back for it. Yeah,
we have...
How did it take this long...
To make a fucking RoboCop video game? First-person shooter?
First-person shooter. Like, there was RoboCop versus Terminator back in the day. There were RoboCop games, like on the NES and the arcade and all this stuff. Fun video game history facts. But never a first-person RoboCop game? And that just... That's weird, man.
It is weird, but I'm about to make it uncomfortable for being weird. So...
We're going to talk about metal dicks, y'all. Let's go.
I was going to talk about class politics, but yeah.
Also
metal
that.
Metal dicks are good.
RoboCop shot a dude in the dick. But yeah, yes, let's talk about,
absolutely shot a dude in the
dick.
But
let's talk about class politics.
So the thing is, the reason that this game has not been made is because it's a little weird to be the ultimate unstoppable police officer in a video game, just murdering the general public
true.
For things like loitering or urinating in public Or that's like true. Maybe being adjacent to drugs. Yeah, it's awkward, man.
Yeah.
The only way to do this is with camp. And that's why I'm so excited for this game. Because the original movie was very much camp, was very much satire.
What director was it?
This is Verhoeven.
Yeah, it was Verhoeven.
The guy who brought us Starship Troopers and RoboCop 2, which is an amazing sequel. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a movie where it's like, lol, fascism, brap, brap. You know, like, that's the idea. But you make a video game out of it, it feels a little weird. They've managed to capture the entire spirit, like the Verhoeven editing, the lighting, the ultra 80s synth pop, the thing we all love today.
Mm-hmm.
They've managed to capture it and the tone of the game in such a way that it doesn't feel weird playing as RoboCop.
Right.
Because the worst thing the world would never, ever need, and I'm sorry for anyone who saw the most recent movie, is like a dark, gritty reboot of RoboCop. Mm. No, we need the original because the tone was there for a reason.
I'm a person who's like, please stop trying to sell us excessive video game editions where it's like, here's the $200 collector's edition.
Right.
But they have a missed opportunity not making a special edition of this game and calling it the I'd buy that for a dollar edition.
Oh, no shit, right? And it's only $1 more. They could literally just have the game and have it for like $59, like $99 instead of $59.98
yep.
and be like the I'd buy that for a dollar edition. No one would click the cheaper one.
Exactly. I want to talk very briefly about Star Wars Dark Forces. But James, I hear you asking, why are you talking about a game that's over 15 years old? Well, that's because Night Dive Studios, who's been doing some amazing remakes recently, is in fact doing a remake of Star Wars Dark Forces. So the old school, like, we're talking boomer shooter, we're talking Doom Engine era game.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting just a fucking remaster, and Night Dive is taking their time.
Studios does amazing remasters. They have done some truly, truly great work remastering a lot of old games. Most recently, the Turok franchise from the Nintendo 64 onto PC. And they made the game look better. They made the game run better. They gave it mouse and keyboard support where it never existed. That's not easy stuff. And now they're looking to the Star Wars version of, like, late Doom, early Quake engine games, and I can't wait.
And if you don't follow Night Dive Studios, you should, because the developers at the studio have been talking very candidly recently about other projects they would like to work on. So somebody on Twitter that just tagged Night Dive recently, and they were like, you know what, a game that I loved on the 360 was The Darkness. It would be so cool if somebody would just remake The Darkness. And one of the devs from Night Dive was just like, yeah, it's on the list.
It's on the list. And I mean, The Darkness is a game we could probably talk about.
Could do a whole episode about The Darkness.
Yeah, it's a fucking awesome game. And I cannot wait for it to be remastered, because the only way to play it right now is with a disc and a PlayStation 3.
The Darkness is a video game that is better than its source material, which is the comic.
Yep.
It is so much better than the comic. It is a game in which, during the opening chapters of the game, you are your main character, who is in the mafia, sits on a couch with his girlfriend, and you watch a movie. And it's a known movie. It is like It's a Wonderful Life or something.
Yeah.
And you can, and there's no achievement for it, anything. You can just sit there with your girlfriend and just watch the whole movie.
The movie will play on the CRT in front of you while you sit there in the game with your head in her lap.
Yep. And if you know what happens next to her, maybe spend some time.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So I'm super excited at the fact that Night Dive not only wants to do The Darkness, but the fact they're coming back to Star Wars Dark Forces, which we love watching games done quick every year. And Dark Forces is a game that's it's really run. Speedrunners love Dark Forces.
If you're a fan of Covert Muffin at all, who's a famous in the games done quick community, he has an incredible in-person GDQ run of Dark Forces, and it's amazing.
Yep. Hector, give me a game.
I want to talk about Phantom Liberty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk 2077. Let's talk about the expansion, Phantom Liberty.
So, We're talking about a game that had all the hype in the world and then came out in a Bethesda level of jank. Like, straight up didn't work on the lower-end consoles.
It was memed how bad this game came out.
Oh, yeah. Like, T-posing extras everywhere, police infrastructure in, like, a GTA-style game.
Poor Keanu Reeves had his name all over it.
Oh, yeah. Keanu Reeves. Like the game, like, the bones were there. But none of the systems worked. There were entire skills in your skill tree that just did nothing. Like not because they were programmed to do that thing, but because they were broken. This game was a problem when it came out. And it was one of the most hyped games that had... that had ever hyped. And now we are seeing CD Projekt Red rising, trying to rise to their former glory that was The Witcher 3 and those DLCs, and coming out and being like, okay, we're very, very sorry. The industry is a problem. Crunch is a problem. We don't do that shit no more. Here's Phantom Liberty. We literally are releasing a patch for the game that's Cyberpunk 2077 2.0. It has a ton of quality of life fixes, all the bug fixes, and it changes a ton of systems to actually make sense in this universe. And I promise you'll love it, and it'll make the original game that you already bought complete and playable and good. And if you want to pay a little bit for the DLC, we've got some DLC for you. We've got story, we've got pathos, we've got extra content. We've got extra characters, characters that you may have loved from the recent anime Edgerunners. We've got
everything. Are references to Edgerunners in the DLC.
Oh, yeah. We've got everything you could possibly want. Please come back and play Cyberpunk again. And, like, as badly as I was burned by a studio I loved so much, I am really hyped for Phantom Liberty, and I cannot wait to get into it.
Super excited about that. Yeah, I'm excited. I didn't buy Cyberpunk when it came out because you, who is a veteran of The Witcher.
I had that shit pre-ordered, and like, I don't pre-order games.
Like Hector is such a veteran of The Witcher that I asked him one day over lunch to explain the lore to me, and it took our entire lunch break for you to do that.
Oh, yeah. We were there for an hour, just like slowly eating.
And so... You told me when I said I've been wanting to play Cyberpunk, but I haven't yet. And I'm intimately familiar with Cyberpunk through the actual like tabletop gaming system, which I've played. So I was really interested in the video game. You said, wait till the DLC comes out. That's when they fix it. And damn, if you weren't right. The first DLC is coming out and they have fixed the game, and I'm super excited to play it. All right. I'm going to jump in. One of my next picks for things to talk about. I want to talk about a cozy game. So one of the games that I love to idly play when I'm sitting at home is Game Dev Tycoon. And the premise behind it is you're a game developer, and it starts kind of like in the 80s. And this game is a love letter to game development as a whole. And if you know anything about me, you know that I love the history of video games. And this game is about you starting off just programming something on your Apple and eventually having a corporation and building consoles. And it's very simple, but it's just cozy and the music's good. And I love everything that studio does. They're coming out with a new game called Tavern Keeper. And it is a cozy game in which literally you run the tavern where D&D style characters come into your bar and they get ready to go off on their adventures, and you make them drinks and you talk to them about their adventures, and it's just wholesome and not about killing things. It is just about running a fucking fantasy medieval tavern. If that doesn't sound like a good time, I don't know what does.
No, that sounds like the coziest time. As a Stardew Valley lover, I absolutely love stuff like this. So, I absolutely can't wait.
Hector, pick a game for me.
I want to talk about Lords of the Fallen.
Ooh, good choice. Let's go. Yeah,
not the one from like 12 years ago, but the one that hasn't come out yet.
Yep.
So, if you are not familiar... Lords of the Fallen came out at a time where, definitely pre-Elden Ring. It was, like, right after Dark Souls 3, basically. It was when people were finally getting up the gumption and the budget and the faculties to make, like, really great-looking games that were Souls-like.
Yep.
Because... you know, Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 were hits straight in a row. Then you had Sekiro. Like, you had, like, games that were selling like crazy that people saw going like under the mainstream radar, like the AAA radar, but were definitely like moving low AAA numbers. And Lords of the Fallen came out, and that was the first real attempt at a Souls-like, a not from software game that was just like, we know you love these mechanics, we know you love these systems, we're going to make this for you, and we hope you like it. And they did, and it was pretty okay. It was fine. They were a little too ambitious with their graphics in like a Crytek sort of way. Yeah. Where like
it was ambitious.
Yeah, we needed to wait another generation for the video cards to really run this the way they programmed it. Mm-hmm. But the systems were there and the fun was there. But then that studio split into two different studios, and Deck 13 went on to make the future Souls-like games that were absolutely amazing. And then the other team went off to do something else. So what we had announced last year and what seems to be coming up very, very shortly is Lords of the Fallen. Mm-hmm. Not Lords of the Fallen 2. Not like, you know, a continuation with an asterisk or a colon or anything. It's just Lords of the Fallen, mm-hmm. like the first one.
Yeah, we just and forget the first the one existed. The studio
that owns it is essentially rebooting it. Mm-hmm. And it's still just a very nice-looking Souls-like, but from a video that we watched recently that someone had some early access to it. It looks like they're trying to incorporate a lot of elements from Raziel's games. Help me out. Soul Reaver.
Thank you. One of my favorite games of all time.
Exactly, yeah. So we have some elements of, like, there are parallel worlds, and when you move, you need a special tool to move through them. But once you have that, this is how you solve puzzles. This is how you get things done. And in the Souls context, in a animation-based, weapon-based, armor-based, like, this is how you have fun, this is how you like move your way through the world type setting with that kind of puzzle element. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for this. That sounds fucking awesome.
Everything about it looks and just visually, it's fantastic. It sounds fantastic. The Souls-like genre, and when we use this term, we're talking about games where death has an impact, has a meaning to it, right? You can lose character development when you die in a Souls-like. Seeing Lords of the Fallen, I looked at this game and I went, this has come so far from like what the original concept was back in like 2013, 2014 when the original came out. I'm impressed by it. The studio looks like they are taking care. It almost doesn't even seem like the same game from back then.
Yeah.
Right? You're looking at this going like, oh, you just scrapped everything and said, let's just build it from the ground up.
Right. And it's kind of like looking at like all the way back to like, you know, Dark Souls 1 and then looking at Elden Ring and being like, man, it kind of doesn't even seem like the same thing.
Absolutely true. Yeah. All right. I want to get personal with the next entry here.
Let's go.
So I'm going to give you James lore. Let's dive into that. And dive is a good word for it. So many of you who have listened to our show for a long time know that I love the BioShock franchise. In fact, my entire dining room is BioShock themed. I never made the connection between BioShock and the fact that my father was a deep sea diver growing up. It was a weird revelation to be like, oh, that big daddy in that video game, that reminds me of my dad's actual diving outfit. That's a thing. Weird. So, when I saw the trailer for Still Wakes the Deep, it hit me on a level. Because I grew up with my dad, who was a deep sea welder, who wore the heavy equipment. And I've worn that equipment. It is freaking heavy.
Yeah.
So, when I saw that they're going to do a horror game, absolutely my genre, and it's going to take place on oil tankers that my dad used to work on, everything about this game said, day one, James, you are playing this game. And because the idea of it is that when you're out on these oil tankers, and I remember listening to my dad's stories growing up about how you're out there with a crew, but it's so isolated from the rest of the world, right? Mm-hmm. You're on just a barge of metal in the middle of the ocean. Like, one storm could kill 100 people that are on this platform. And for somebody to make the connection, hey, we could do a horror game about this. Oh, this speaks to me. This speaks to me on a deep, deep level, not to make a pun out of it. But like, when I saw it, it was like Still Wakes the Deep. It's just about being on a like an oil platform in the middle of the ocean. My mind went to my mom worrying about my dad coming home. And now I'm like, day one, I have to play this game because it seems so, as somebody who loves niche horror, this is the nichest of horror, and I cannot wait to play it. Hector, pick a game for me.
All right. So, all right. I'm just going to read the description of this game to you real quick. Hang on.
All right.
The Inquisitor.
Mm.
The Inquisitor is a story-based action-adventure game set in an alternative timeline. In this timeline, instead of dying on the cross, Jesus instead breaks free of the cross and unleashes his vengeance on all non-believers. This has led to a version of Christianity that focuses brutality enforcing the faith. Somehow different from now. There is no release date yet for this game. We've had the Buddy Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Vampire Jesus. We've had Lich Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Crusader Jesus seems like a lot, but the game is like weirdly triple A. It has like really
good art
and facial animation and 3D space. It looks a lot like the game that came out recently with all the rats.
Mm. Oh, yeah. the Plague Tale.
Plague Tale. Yeah. Plague Tale. Exactly. Like it's got really, really good like animation assets, and it might be running in Unreal Engine 5.
Yep,
it is. It's like, hey, instead of being crucified, Jesus got super angry, and now there's like a crazy crusade on behalf of Jesus that's just like, so you don't believe, huh? Here's some stabbing. I don't know what this game is about, but I guess I need to check it out.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
How fucking weird is this game? Yes, but also I'm kind of down to try it.
No, I mean, I need to see what it's like a train wreck, man. I have to watch it as I go by.
I personally love a good blaspheme.
Oh, I'm a giant fan of blaspheme.
Like I'm down. So seeing this, everything about this just speaks to my heart on this.
Mm-hmm.
But like, wow.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Yeah. It feels like going hard in the paint, like at the very beginning.
I never played the game, but there was a game back in the 360 era that was a Devil May Cry game. And for those of you who know James lore, I at one point in my life was trying to become a literature professor. They did a video game about Dante's Inferno.
Oh, I loved Dante's Inferno.
Like, the fuck this game.
Yeah, that was like, they were trying to make a God of War.
Yeah, they were trying to make a God of War. And they
fucking succeeded.
And they were like, there were protests about this game. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a game about going to hell and just like ripping people apart. And like, that's not what Jesus would have wanted. Well, here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
All right. Let's pick a few more before we wrap up the show. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was Hellboy, The Web of Weird.
Ooh, yeah, that looks so great. So
this is a game in which it's a third-person action game. It is Hellboy. It is, if you watch the trailer for it, it feels like a one-to-one, like they took Mike Mignola's art, lifted it off the page, and made a game out of it. And if you've never read an issue of Hellboy, first off, go do that. But just everything about this game screams a love letter to the Hellboy franchise. The only thing that I wish, and this is just a personal thing, I wish they could have gotten Ron Perlman to voice Hellboy in the game.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I would have loved that.
But everything else about this game, it's RPD. It is Hellboy. It is everything you love about these characters, just translated, like lifted right off the comic page and brought to you in a video game. And the fact that this is an indie game, y'all, this is not a AAA studio doing this. Like, it is just a little tiny indie studio. And for it to look this good, to sound this good, get excited for this Hellboy game because I'm super hyped for it.
Yeah.
Hector, I know that I'm asking you to pick things, but I need you to please talk about Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
So, please. For anyone who's ever played Vampire Survivor, you basically know what you're getting. Survivor game is a very simple, like almost what you would call an idle game, a game where you're not really meant to be actively pushing a ton of buttons. You might be just ferrying a character around or just making decisions for them while they travel on their own. It's a game literally meant to be played at work. Like, that's what these are for. So, Deep Rock Galactic is one of my favorite motherfucking games of all time for a lot of really good reasons. It is a child of Left 4 Dead. It is a, you know, PvE adventure for you and four of your friends to go into, you know, levels that and use your disparate skills to solve problems as the AI generator throws problems at you. This is what Left 4 Dead gave us. This is what a lot of games had tried to ape over the years. Some of them good at it, some of them bad at it. To me, Deep Rock Galactic perfected this formula. They have classes that you literally need one of everything to really solve high-level missions. They made a procedural generation engine that generates...
I would like to point out the fact that you got me into this game originally, and one of the ways that you sold it to me is it is the most wholesome game.
Yeah.
It is an online game in which you play with strangers on the internet.
Always.
And everybody has etiquette and cares about each other, and nobody's there... to have a bad time.
The game.
Nobody's there to call you a slur.
No.
Everybody who plays this game is just there to encourage everybody. Like you walked me through this opening level or the base of operations.
Yeah.
And you said, this is the bar.
Yeah.
And before you go on a mission, you drink with the strangers that you're playing with. Mm-hmm. Your character drinks at this bar and they get a stat boost and they cheer together. And it's just a thing that the community has decided that you do. There was another thing that you explained to me where there's a robot that helps you mine. And this robot is unimportant at the end of the game. It's already done its job. But the players of the game have decided that as a community, this robot that you could just, there's no point value attached to it. There's nothing. It is just an inanimate object that helps you out do one simple task. The community has decided that you must always save that robot's life.
Correct.
You never leave it behind. This whole game is like, it blows my mind how wholesome it is.
The game is... so just to expand on that, the game is designed around cooperation in such a way that it has no ban feature. If someone is upsetting you in your game, of course you can vote to kick them, but it requires three votes to kick one person and it's a four-man team. So the person has to be fucking up and everyone has to be like, nah, yeah, get this person is either idle or actively working against us. I have played over 250 hours of Deep Rock Galactic, and I've never seen a person kicked.
Like, that's impressive.
Then there is literally no ban feature. And when they do streams to talk about, you know, the new things coming up, the developers, of which it is a very small team putting this game out, when they're asked about a ban feature, they say, why? No, there's no, we don't ban people. If you want to play the game, play the game. If you bought the game, play the game.
Yep.
If you're going to be an asshole, someone will kick you from their game, but we're not going to ban you from playing the game. What if people try to cheat? Why would you cheat at a PvE game?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. Do they want to level up for no reason? Leveling up is literally just a scorecard. We give it to you because you want it.
In an era where every battle pass is paid for, you've told me that
this game has a battle pass and it has seasons and there's usually two or three a year. That battle pass...
free.
And everything on it, not like the free tier, everything on it is free. You unlock the battle pass by playing the game. They announce when the battle pass comes out because that's the same time they're releasing a bunch of new content and a bunch of new art assets, a bunch of new skins, a bunch of new everything. And you literally just play the game, and through playing the game, you earn currency to buy those things. You cannot pay for said currency. There is no avenue to do that. You may not give them any more money than it costs to buy that game. And this game is just people working together. Every single class is useful. Every single class gets to feel useful. And that makes players act usefully. Like, I don't know how else to say that because everything gets so adversarial in so many multiplayer games. Deep Rock Galactic is one of the best designed games I've ever played. And I say that because I normally do not play games like this without friends. I hate internet strangers. I want them all to go away and not talk to me or just do their fucking jobs. I love it when I interact with people in Deep Rock Galactic because I know they're there to just do the thing that they decided to
have a good
press play and do. They're there to have a good time and to accomplish a goal. And it's wonderful.
So are you excited about this new version of the game?
Yeah. I mean, anything Deep Rock Galactic, I will try it. Like, it, for the most cynical reason that I can think of is just to support the developers because I want them to make more money and do more things. But honestly, like, anything Deep Rock Galactic, I'm going to give a shot because I don't think I've ever had more fun with a multiplayer game.
Fantastic. All right, one more game each. So Hector looked through the list, and I'm going to go ahead and cheat and pick two games.
All right.
Which you will never see coming because I want to talk about Persona 3 Reloaded and Persona 5 Tactica.
You're a fan of Persona, right?
I'm a fan of Persona, baby. And Persona 3 is a game that I never played back in the day. It was wildly popular on the PSP. There's been several iterations of it where they've improved it over time. The fact that it's getting a remake and it's going to be coming to all platforms, I'm super excited about. And then we have Persona 5, a game that I was way too obsessed with. And Persona 5 is getting a new spinoff called Tactica. And it is what's on the label. It is Persona 5 in a tactic environment. Instead of just being a turn-based RPG the way that Persona 5 was, this is a tactical game where you sit down, you have your forces, and XCOM style, it's you know, you move, they move, you know, what are you going to do at that point? Because it's Persona, you have these deities that you summon. And if you've never seen some of the creatures in Persona, just understand there are creatures that are a literal penis with chariot wheels attached to it. That is one of the demons you can summon. That's why I love this game so much, is how ridiculous it is. So I'm super excited that not only Persona 3 is getting its remake and it's going to be coming to Game Pass, but also that Persona 5 Tactica, which I love me a tactical game, Final Fantasy Tactics, XCOM, that's all my shit. But Persona is a tactical game? Force feed it. I'm here. Put it in my veins. Hector, one more go.
I didn't interrupt you. You're welcome.
Yep.
There was a joke there about summoning the chariot-wheeled penis all the time, personally, in my life.
I do.
Yeah, but the last game I want to talk about is one that's kind of personal to me. I want to talk about Homeworld 3.
Do it.
And the reason I want to do that is because there's not a lot of love for this genre. Mm-hmm. You talk about RTS games. RTS games, you think all the way back to something like Command & Conquer.
Yep.
And in today you don't see a lot of this much. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a few indie projects here and there. You see a lot of things in the Warhammer universe. But every once in a while, you get a space game. And that's not like just a normal RTS, because this is fucking 4D. This is, you know, this is everything. You can go in every direction. You can attack from above. You can attack from below and behind. You can build an arsenal, an armada. Homeworld as a game, you can find people on YouTube to explain this to you, has a massive lore of, you know, humanity building this ship that is the homeworld ship. And from it, they explore the universe and they send out little ships. But it's an RTS because they find problems and they have to send destroyers and surveyors and, you know, miners and miners who mine rock, not miners' children. You know, you have to
thank you for specifying that.
It's important. But you know, you destroyers, if you have a main problem, you know, you might need to send a Super Star Destroyer and some TIE fighters. There are Star Wars mods for these types of games, but that's the idea. Homeworld 3 is coming out very soon. And it carries a legacy that's almost two decades in the making of PC RTS games. And they made this not only graphically impressive, but distilled the like 4X RTS gameplay down to such an incredible level that made it like, if you, it might be a niche, but like, if you were a fan of these games and you're a fan of games like this, we have a present for you. We have something that, like, we know may only appeal to a few people, but it's going to appeal the shit out of you. Like, you are going to be like, I can't miss this. No one's going to understand why you like it so much. And you are going to be the guy at the bar who explains it to them while people slowly back away. Like, this is a game for those type of people.
Right.
And I love seeing shit like that, because today we see so many, especially in the AAA sphere, games that are homogenized to the point of like it's Starbucks fucking Pike Place Bend. It can't offend anybody. You know, this is a game that, like, you might have to spend some time with that might have a learning curve, but if you, like, dig into it, you'll love it. And people really, like, think about From Software games when it takes that because it takes time to master it. No. I'm talking about a genre that you have to love going in, and then you have to love it kicking your ass for a while.
There's a term in the 4X community, which I can't remember all the 4X. 4X is like expand. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole terminology for what 4X means. But it's games like Civilization, mm-hmm. and there's a term within the game Civilization, or a phrase that people use, which is just one more turn. And people who play Civilization always say, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, I just said one more turn, and now it's 3 a.m.
Right.
That's what Homeworld is.
Oh, for sure.
Right. You get so lost in this game that you're just like, oh, yeah, just one more turn. It'll be fine. It'll be like 10 more minutes. It'll be fine. And then it's 3 a.m, 4 a.m. The sun's coming up, and you're like, wait, where did my night go? What happened? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Homeworld is. And I'm so excited for this because I've never played the Homeworld series, but I do love me a 4X game. I love me some Civilization. And the idea of jumping into a space version of this, I think back to my childhood when I played a game like Master of Orion. Mm-hmm. It's very much kind of in that vein.
Oh, yeah.
You know? All right. Final thoughts about Gamescom. Hector, give it to me.
Well, you know, again, to end where we began, stop interrupting Jeff Keighley on stage.
Yeah.
Please leave the man alone. He's trying very hard to be a good person. And don't make me root for him to start, like, fucking carrying some weight and just, like, gatting the next person who, like, rushes him on stage. Like, that would be a bad look for Jeff Keighley.
It would be.
Don't make him kill you.
Right?
Yeah. Other than that, like, Gamescom is cool. Yeah. Like, I love that there are festivals as the year progresses from west to east in the world. You know, we have like E3, then we have Gamescom, then we have like TGS.
TGS is next month.
That's right. So like it's a lot of fun. I love that we have so much stuff going on, and we saw some really good things, and we are looking forward to some more announcements here at the end of the year that for stuff that we know is coming but no one's talking about. So it was a good Gamescom. Very good.
Absolutely was. We have Tokyo Game Show coming up, TGS, in a month, and we'll talk about that when it happens. That being said, 2023 has been an insane year for games. In fact, and many people are saying this is one of the best years for games ever.
Oh, yeah.
Like the game, the quality of the games that are coming out. We are coming out of these games that were created during the pandemic where developers could just make a game how they want.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing the fruit of that labor, and it is so good. All of these games I'm super excited about, and I want to talk about more of them. We will talk about more of them as TGS happens. At the end of the year, we have the Game Awards. I don't even know what to say is going to be Game of the Year at this point. I don't know.
Remember when everyone thought it was going to be Tears of the Kingdom?
Right. It's just not. Like, in the middle of playing Armored Core. Is that my Game of the Year? I don't know. Do you remember the fact
everyone's Game of the Year is Baldur's Gate 3 until fucking Spider-Man comes out?
Right.
Like, shit.
I'm super excited about it. Thank you for joining us for this episode. That is everything we have for the show this week. Don't forget, you can head over to goodnight.gg to become a patron of our show. You can head over to facebook.com/GNGGcast. We can chat with us, as well as at GNGGcast on Twitter to talk to me directly. But until next time, for Hector, this is James.
And for James, this is Hector.
Everyone, good night.
And good game.